Welcome. We're so happy that you have joined us here today for this groundbreaking Justice Network webinar. Today, we are empowering women, pregnant women facing tough choices. We are pleased to have Jim Wright and Shelley Miller as our special guests. For 49 years, Roe versus Wade has sadly been a part of the nation's legacy. There are currently many state leaders fighting for the end of abortion on the national level and asking the Supreme Court to permit people of each state to consider the debate. Two states come to my mind, the Texas heartbeat law and the Dobbs versus Jackson's women health case out of Mississippi. If the Supreme Court upholds the Mississippi law, this would overrule Roe versus Wade and allow states to place limits on abortion based on fetal age, the viability of the baby. At this point, the church body needs to be prepared to address potentials of tens to thousands of babies needing adoption. Are we ready as believers? During our time today, you will hear stories of hope and restoration and healing. Jim Wright, the founder of Birth Mothers Ministry, has a passion to help women face unplanned pregnancies. And Jim is going to share how women are given healthy alternatives to abortion through perspectives of adoption. And he's also going to share his testimony by adopting his son. But before we do that, we are going to have Nancy is going to be saying the opening prayer for us.
Okay, thank you, Beth. Father, how grateful we are today. We rejoice and boast in you because it is by your guidance and leading that the Justice Network presents its first webinar this day. We thank you for each speaker and honor them, knowing that in your faithfulness, you abundantly bless each one as they share. Our heart's understanding will be enlightened as we listen and learn how to empower pregnant women facing tough choices. We agree and believe that your plans and purposes for today's presentation will be fulfilled and also in all future webinars hosted by the Justice Network. In your name, Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nancy. All right. So now we're gonna have Jim Wright come and join us. And like I said, he is the founder and president of Birth Mother Ministries, okay? And he is going to share his testimony of how he adopted a son, and then he's going to share about his ministry. So go ahead, Jim, whenever you're ready.
Thank you. I hope you can hear me clearly. Yes. And I'm sitting in my home, and folks, I'm on an iPhone. And if my head moves around, it's my hand holding the iPhone. But my story is one about grace and love. And, you know, I was thinking before I started this talk, Romans 8:28 is a very important and favorite verse of mine. You know, and it says that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to the purpose. So in my story, I have a lot of tragic things in my story, but God has used those tragic things to do good things. And so Birth Mother is a part of that because my story starts with being infected with HIV. Back in the 80s was a killing virus, and I didn't know I had the virus until 1985. So this whole story starts with HIV because this call today is because I have HIV, which brought Birth Mothers to be. And I'll talk about that now. So whatever problems you have in life, in your believer, you know, sometimes it's very difficult to talk, to deal with your issue, whatever issue might be, whatever challenge you might have. It can be very difficult to deal with it. God, how did this happen to me? And why did this happen to me? The whys of life. So, fellow believer and those who don't know Christ. And if you don't know Christ, I pray that even through this call, this Zoom call today, that you would be called, that God would call you to him, and you would have that grace that I have. And so, so what happens to me is I find out in March of 1985 from my hematologist, I have hemophilia. So I'm a free bleeder, as they call it. I'm severe. And so I've come through a lot of hard stuff with bleeding in the joints, not bleeding because I was cut. But God has given me, in fact, I've lived through two last rites. My mom's Catholic. And so just kind of interesting, it's for my Catholic brothers and sisters out there. I have lived through two last rites. One when I was born. And they put forceps on my head to pull me from my mom. And my head swelled up like a balloon, and I was to die. In fact, my uncle died in birth. My mother's brother died at birth. Very typical to die at birth with hemophilia. And then at 7 years old, I got hit. And this kind of is interesting, though, because it kind of comes back to birth mothers, the ministry we're going to talk about, is I was hit in the side and swelled up, and I'm cutting out the story I get hit in the side. I'm swollen like a balloon. I'm about 7 years of age. I don't know. They can't do anything for me. I remember going to the hospital, and I remember nothing else until I left the hospital. But while I was lying there in the bed, and the priest had come in and given me last rites in the very hospital in which I was born, there's a crucifix in the room. I do not recall any of this. It's from my father, who's passed away a couple years ago. And my daddy always told the story about, I asked my father to ask Jesus to get off my bed. My dad's quote used to always be, "This boy's not dying." Now you have to understand that I was running a fever 105 for days. They said I'd be brain damaged if I did survive. So that's been my jokes, my excuse. But the bottom line is, I did live. I left. I remember leaving the hospital. None of this is only my father's story. But I remember in the car, this sense, this feeling that I'd been saved, surely. And I don't know if I heard somebody talking or what went on, but I remember this feeling that I had that I'd been saved. And I should have been dead. So roll forward through a lot of life. I was homeschooled, not homeschooled, but I had a tutor till the ninth grade because of hemophilia. And then this factor VIII comes out. They find out how to take it out of the blood through a process in 1970. Early 70s, I was able to inject clotting factor. My life changed. So I go to public school in the ninth grade the first time. Well, I didn't know it, but I'm injecting lots of viruses into my body. And I've had hepatitis C for 50-some years, just cured of that about 5 years ago. But I had 50 years of hep C, had HIV pumped in my veins. So anyway, all that being said, in 1985, the hematologist calls me and says, I'm sorry to tell you that you have HIV and you have 5 years to live max. Well, folks, I will tell you that all the hemophiliacs in the country, there's about 20,000 of us. By 1990, half of everybody was dead. And today, and then my wife married me in 86, and through artificial insemination in 89, before the internet, we heard of a process. And the process is called sperm washing. The Italians were doing it. And bottom line is, my wife went to her gynecologist. She said, "I won't touch it." So I called my hematologist, and he said, "Yeah, I can do it." I got a friend that's an obstetrician, gynecologist, and so he called and said, "Yeah, he'll do it for $150. So I rode from Northern Virginia, Fairfax County, outside of D.C., with my wife down to Richmond. The procedure was done twice. The second time, we were driving from Richmond area to Northern Virginia. It's about 100 miles. My wife was bleeding. You're not supposed to be bleeding. Well, what had happened was the doctor had injected HIV, my semen, into her bloodstream. And in January of 1990, we got the call that she was HIV positive. So now, all through the 80s, everybody's dying. I mean, the papers were filled up, if you're in the medical world, were filled up with young people dying of this AIDS, which was called the gay disease back in its day in the beginning. But the bottom line is, here we are, both HIV positive. I'm working commercial real estate. I'm a CPA, went into commercial real estate and doing really well financially, very well. And so we can't get a home study done. And so, long story short, we're seeking to adopt privately. What's that mean? It means we're not going through an agency per se, because no one would take us. We had the plague. And so we couldn't get a home study done, because you have to have a home study done in order to present to the court that you're fit to be parents. Right, Beth? So anyway, what happened was, by the grace of God, my best friend's wife, Susie's brother, was seeking to adopt. He was in North Carolina. He had already found a child, a girl, and he heard about another lady, young girl that was pregnant. And her name is Charlotte. So we didn't know Charlotte. So this was 1991. So Tammy, my wife's name was Tammy. So it's Jim and Tammy, for those from Carolina in the world, you know, the Jim and Tammy show. And that's right here in Portsmouth, where I'm from. That's where Pat Robinson started his show. And they moved to Virginia Beach, where Regents is and everything. But that's right in the city, Portsmouth, Virginia. And I actually rode by the facility the other day where the station used to be. And my brother, who's 5 years younger, used to go to the Jim and Tammy show. It's the 1960s. So anyway, some of you people out there, Jim and Tammy show. And then I think Jim Baker's still on TV now and got a new show. He went to jail and got out, et cetera. But the point is that we found this young girl, heard about this young girl, found out Fairfax County, where we were, that you could get a home study done for $500. Wow, not $3,000. So anyway, a lady came to us. Her name was Barbara Kennedy. And I don't know if she looked to be in her 60s, you know, maybe 70 at that point. I don't know. But she's sitting in my house interviewing Tammy and me. And she said, well, it looks like you're doing pretty well and da-da-da. And I said, well, ma'am, we have some baggage. Now, folks out there, do you have any baggage in your life? Do you have anything in your life that you're not ashamed about? You're not, you know, you're shameful about? Well, at any rate, I said to her, I said, ma'am, I said, I hate to tell you that we have HIV, both of us. She looked at me and she said, well, Jim, I don't know when you're going to die. Only God knows. She said, I interview people all the time. They have cancer. They don't even know they have the cancer, and they're dead in a year. I'm not here to be judged by when you're living or when you're dying. So she writes up some report. So essentially, that goes in the court. Now, we've identified a baby, and her name is Charlotte. She was 14 years old, folks. When Tammy went down to North Carolina to meet her and her mother, I knocked on the apartment door, and she opened the door up. She had blonde hair, blue eyes, and her stomach out to here. She was 2 months from, about 3 weeks from delivery. So we walked in the house and said hello. And so we went off to Pizza Hut. And she was determined. She's a freshman in high school, folks, freshman. And she was determined, and she was a strong-willed woman like my son is today. And she says, I want a place for adoption because this is 1991. She said, the kids that are in daycare, 30 years ago, they had daycare for women that had babies out of wedlock. She said, the babies lie there all day long. She said, the verbal skills are not developed because nobody's playing with the babies. I don't want my baby. I don't think we had no knowledge at that point, was a boy or a girl. So anyway, she seemed to be determined that she was going to place for adoption. So we didn't know it was us or whatever. That was a Saturday. On the next day was Sunday. We went back to the house. She didn't know about the HIV, right? We're not going to blow that on her right away. So we come back. It's a Saturday. And I remember sitting there and I said, we like you. And they sort of nodded. They liked us. And I said, we have some baggage. There's that baggage again, right? And I said, we both have HIV. The mother was 31 years old. Again, Charlotte was 14. And the mother says to me, God sent you here. God sent you here. Well, and that was relieving, and we hugged and everything like that. And she, the mother told me some stories about her life. You know, when you have some baggage like I do, and you're willing to be open about your baggage, you find out that a lot of people have baggage and they want to share their baggage. And there's no one they feel safe with. Right, Beth? And so so God will be forming a ministry, placing me in the future to a ministry. So basically what happened was Charlotte came and lived with a friend in Virginia. So we didn't have to deal with North Carolina law, adoption law, and Virginia law. So she came to live with a friend. And my son was born on July 30, 1991 at a hospital there in Northern Virginia. I couldn't come in the delivery room. She was embarrassed to have me there. So Tammy, my wife, was in there and I was in the waiting room. And I know that Bill Cosby was on the TV. They had a TV monitor in the delivery room. And I know that was playing during the delivery. Bill Cosby. So anyway. So AJ's born, we take AJ home. Now AJ's not adopted yet, right? You got to go to court. So we take AJ home and he's crying and all this goes with having a baby and we're trying to get to the court date. So I hired an attorney for Charlotte, attorney for AJ, I had my own attorney and he was an expert. He'd done a lot of adoption. He actually had adopted kids and biological kids. One of the points I'll make on this is in the early stages, I thought maybe he had a problem loving an adopted child. Folks, I love my son as my own. And I learned that even before I adopted AJ, I learned from somebody else that was the case. My heart kind of swells up when I think about my son because I love that boy. He's now a man. He's 30 years old. So anyway, so AJ's attorney and so what happens is one day I get a phone call and Beth, before I go on, how's my time? Somebody give me a signal on how much time I have.
You okay?
I'm okay. Okay. So anyway, I get a phone call from Charlotte. She says, what's my attorney's phone number? I said, well, it's this. So what's the reason? She said, well, we'd like to take AJ home to North Carolina. Remember, I'm in Northern Virginia for a week. A week? So anyway, I gave her the number and she said, I'd like to come up there and get AJ. So I called my attorney, Mark McDermott, his name, and he was an experienced man. And I called him up. He said, Jim, if AJ, our son, we named the AJ, I named my son AJ's Anson James, by the way. Anson, I found an old German means of divine origin. James is out of me, and it was quickly AJ. And back 30 years ago, AJ Foyt was a race car driver, but now it's a bunch of AJs out there. But back then, there was just a few. So I called Mark, my attorney. I said, Charlotte wants to take him back. And he said, Jim, the chances of AJ returning are 1 in 1,000,000. He's not coming back, basically, is what he's saying. He gets down there with family. So AJ goes down there. We meet. They come up from Carolina in a car. I learned later, it was actually years later, it was a friend's car of theirs. And basically, I put him in the car seat at the hot parking lot of the very hospital in which he was born. And that car turned around and drove away, and I could see the dust, you know, Beth, behind the car. It's kind of a gravel road. I don't know why there's dust, but, and I wept. I just cried. I'm almost want to cry now. And so Tammy didn't cry. She didn't cry because she's worried about me. Because I said, there goes my football buddy. Well, he goes down there. He had hip dysplasia, which is something apparently a lot of kids have. He had this little brace he had to put on, and it went away, and everything was fine. But that's a little complication there, right? He had to take off his diaper. He had his little brace. So he gets down there, and apparently the story I'm told, and I haven't had this refreshed, but back then was he cried two nights straight in the birth mom's room, in Charlotte, his birth mom's room, wore her out, moved over to grandma's room, wore her out. They were like, let's get this kid back to where he belongs. Literally, 1 week with AJ was killing him. Praise Jesus. Well, in the meantime, this attorney that was AG's attorney happened to go to New York City, and his friend was a doctor, and she was an infectious disease doctor, and basically she said, they're going to die. This is incredible. So he decides he does not want to be AJ's attorney. It's called attorney ad litem, a Latin term. Well, we're in a stink. AJ's in Carolina. We don't have an attorney. Bottom line is we can't find an attorney. You just can't do that in a snap. So anyway, the guy finally decides he'll do it. I don't know what happened. So then we have AJ's coming up from Carolina. We're at the courthouse. And I don't know which judge we're going to get. And there's apparently three. The one we got had an adopted son. By God's grace, folks, by God's grace, I get the one a judge with an adopted son. So anyway, I don't know the man. He called the attorneys in to his chambers before we started. So they just go away, and then they called us into the courtroom. This is something out of the movie. Honest, Beth, this is as good as it gets. You know, you look at Hollywood. This was Hollywood real. So we come to the courtroom. I'm at a table, a little table with Tammy. Table to our right is Charlotte and her mother. In the back of the room, in the courtroom, are the attorneys. I can't really see them because they're behind me. The judge is up on a platform, you know, looks like a judge. And, so he starts the proceedings. I don't know who he is at this point. I don't know if he's, I didn't know he said, had adopted son or whatever. Then they hand him the home report. Remember, the lady came in, Mrs. Kennedy, to write this report out. I've never seen this report. I know what it says, but I didn't think it was too negative. So he's handed the report. In the front of the room, there's a big government clock. Beth, you know, those clocks are kind of dark. They have dark and they're big and white face, and it's a government clock. I don't know if all the government clocks are the same, but I'm watching this clock because he's reading the home report. He's turning the pages, Beth, one after the other. And I'm thinking, praying, Jesus. And then he looks up and he says, is there anyone in this room that wants to protest, deny this adoption? And he looks past me, you know, he's looking at the attorneys in the back room, Beth, you know, the guy that apparently he chewed him out, I learned later, in the judge's chambers. There was not a peep. And then he looks up, he said, be my pleasure to approve this adoption. And my eyes just burst with tears, we're all standing up, hugging. And so AJ had already been taken home even before this court proceeding. And so we went home. We actually had lunch with Charlotte and her mom. And then we went home. Now, what happens is you have a 2-week period that the birth mom can rescind the placement. So you can say, okay, Beth, you can say, okay, I don't want to do this. So Charlotte can say, I don't want to do this. Well, on that 14th day, the question is, talking about faith, folks, all you Christians out there. Now, remember, when AJ was taken for 1 week, you want to talk about praying? And you want to talk about the definition of a silent home? You go from having a crying infant to zero, nothing. It's the definition of silence. And so you want to get praying. We're praying that somehow, Lord Jesus, you'll bring our son home. And so, as you know, he came home. Now, after this court proceeding, this hearing, it's 2 weeks later, I come home and I say to Tammy, I say, well, should we answer the phone? Here's what happened. At about 5:30, 6 o'clock, the phone rang. Never had this kind of call ever before. I picked it up, and a recording said somebody tried to place a long-distance call. That was kind of weird. Hung it up. It rang again. This time it was Charlotte. And this is exactly what I said. I said, what can I do for you? My heart was down in my stomach, right? And she says, oh, I just want to tell you how good I'm doing. And everything is great. And I'm so happy you're in my life. And and she had no idea later on that that was the 14th day. That's just coincidental that you would call 2 weeks out. So AJ was ours. And so the ministry that we're talking about today, Birthmas, comes out of this. Now, what happens is Charlotte mentors her girlfriend in high school. She's a freshman for life. And this becomes in 1994. AJ's born in 91. This is 94. I'm at a Bible study. It's Bible study I started in 1988. And a man comes to me at adoption. He says, did you adopt your son? I said, yeah. And AJ was 3 years old. And I said, you know, Tom, his name is Tom, Tom Starnes. Tom looks at me. I don't know Tom well. He's in the same competitive business I'm in, commercial office space leasing. I said, you know, everybody talks about the baby, but no one talks about the woman. I said, if you save a woman and point her to Christ, you'll save a baby. And he looked at me, and I call him my burning bush. He looked at me and said twice, he said, you've got to do it. So that was September 1994. So I was trying to, I'm a marketing guy. I was the number one producer in the nation, in the number one office in the nation. I'd been the number one producer in the office. And so I'm making lots of money. And so that day I surrendered to God. I said, Lord, take me. Here's my wife and I, HIV positive. I'm making lots of money. The bottom line is another complicated. A friend of mine came to me and said he had quit. He's a lawyer. He quit. His job was suffering financially. He said, you know, you want to be slow about quitting because you might be like me, trying to feed yourself. Anyway, so I continued to develop, look at ministries I could join, right, as a marketing guy. And I found one company called One Church, One God, One Church, One Child. And basically, I called them up, and they're in Atlanta, and it's a black lady. And I said, ma'am, I said, what are you guys doing? This church-based thing sounds pretty good, right? She said, oh, Jim, she said, we don't need your help. We don't want your help. I said, well, what is that? She said, well, we get a little money from the state, and we don't want to bring any attention to our ministry. So as much as you might be a good marketing guy, we don't really need that. So that was like my heart sank, because here's your government dole, you know, helping this ministry. And it wasn't very big. It was around couple of different churches, but that becomes a seed, folks. It becomes a seed for birth, because Birth Mothers is church-based. It is wants to operate from the church. It wants to recruit. What happened was, with Charlotte being a friend to her girlfriend there, is in 1996 November, we're incorporated as Birth Mother Ministries, and as trade as Birth Mothers. By the way, the term Birth Mothers connotes a woman that's placed her baby for adoption. and can be written as two words or one word. And essentially, that word has been trademarked. Now, listen to me, folks. We sent an application to trademark the word birth mothers, even though it's used all the time. And I can write birth mothers with R, lots of money involved here. But Patent and Trade was so impressed with the ministry concept, they approved it. I don't think I told you that, Beth, before, did I? But anyway, so our logo, which is the birth mothers with a pregnant woman, is trademarked, and so is the word birth mothers. This is all laying the foundation for a national ministry and maybe one day a worldwide ministry. So all that being said, I'm doing real estate. I didn't quit my job. I continue to do deals, do real estate deals, commercial real estate leasing deals. In most space, by the way, folks, most space that you see with companies, that's mostly leased space, not owned. It's leased. So basically, we had our first training in 98 for friends. So we recruit people. So what we do is we want a woman like you, Beth. You become a friend. Say, yeah, I want to be a friend to a woman that's pregnant. And so we had a training, and then we try to match you with somebody that's pregnant to walk with them. Now, this is distinctive because in 2000, I hired my first director. And he's now a professor in a seminary. So I had a man guy. He was a man with a wife and three kids. And at 9/11, we had 188 friends. He was the head guy. I'm still working real estate. And then we all crashed down. So we struggled here. And then we had Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's daughter, as our keynote speaker at a hotel 2 weeks after 9/11. And everybody after 9/11, I don't know if you remember what you're doing at 9/11, but everybody's in shock. Is the world coming to an end? So we didn't raise much money at that dinner at all. I don't think we even covered the hotel expenses. So by 2002, we were in gear, and my real estate business crashed.
SDSS.gov/COVIDHOU.
You still there?
I am. Yes. Can you hear? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back. I don't know. Something came in there kind of strange. Do you hear that too?
Yeah. Did it come in your phone maybe?
Yeah, it's gone now. So anyway, bottom line is back there in 2001 after 9/11. And then the next month we kind of had to shut it down. I had to lay Greg off. I was paying him lots of money. So I was making big bucks, so I'm kind of supporting. This will be a problem now. So the bottom line is we come down to a smaller ministry. We come back, making a long story short here. I've made more money in my business, and we begin to really crank up because I'm the funder. And I'm talking big bucks here. So I had five staff. We were serving in the late 2007-08. We had 50 to 100 women matched with friends. So the friend is the mentor. This is the key to the ministry. It's the foundation of the ministry. Walks with that woman, half pregnant woman, with grace. And so we train you. But here's the thing about training. Most people, like my wife, Tammy, she was a natural person dealing with anybody. They would talk to her and share with her. And so other people need to be trained a little bit to be able to be a good listener, because that's what we do as a friend. We listen. So we were training friends, and then I became training friends, and now we're back. Now we came through the crisis of 9/11, and now we're back. We got office space. We have five full-time people. We getting calls. We're spending lots of money. And so I would do the initial training. And this is, I think, where I wanted to share my passion for women and the issue of abortion and the pain of abortion. So what we would do, all the women coming to us that wanted to be a friend, like, Beth, if you want to be a friend, call the office. And I would do an initial training. And so I do a training in my house, in my kitchen table, with three to five ladies. And three better than five, but I had five this night. And we went out of the room saying, why, Beth, why are you here? Why are you here to be a friend? What happened to you, Beth? I'm just using Beth as an example. And around the table, I can see him around sitting there. And the one lady, some black lady, she said, I was raped by my uncle. This is hard stuff, folks. See, I've forgiven him. So the next girl was 19. She went to George Mason University. She said, my friends had 5 abortions. And she's messed up psychologically. She said, I want to bring hope to other people. The next lady, though, is key. She's married. She said, I was raised in a Christian home. I went to college. I got involved in sexual activity. I had 2 abortions as a Christian. She said, I can't get pregnant now. She starts to weep. The other next lady, by her, didn't have any major stories. The other lady got saved by her tennis instructor, she said. She was 37 at the time. So anyway, but this vision you have of 5 ladies, this one point, everybody's crying. I mean, this is hard stuff. So the bottom line, this is my passion. My passion is not for babies. I love babies. My passion is babies in my theology go to heaven. But those women and men left behind suffer. And I've sat with so many women, folks, that have shared their stories with me and weeping. And tears my heart up. Because you'll hear things like, if I only, like the woman there at the table, if I only would have chosen adoption. If only. That echoes in my brain of so many women. I see a lady right now at a restaurant. And we were in a restaurant and she was weeping at the restaurant. She wanted to be a friend, but she was not prepared after talking to be a friend because she still had issues. And so we don't put everybody into service because you have to be settled in your own personal issues, your abortion, if you had an abortion. There's so many abortions out there. They're everywhere. So basically, I say that to you folks that I have a heart for women and men. So the other side of this, the men that are not talked about often, they are talked about a little bit, but boy, they're left out. And that's another story. And I told Beth, I told you a story about the guy weeping about having 3 kids with his new wife. And so I'm going to stop there and say, okay, Beth, so here's my mission. So right now, Birth Mothers is active. We have 2 websites. There's birthmotherministries.org. That's birthmother, not S, birthmotherministries, plural.org. And then the women would go to birthmothers with an S at the end, .org. So right now we're active, but it takes a lot of money to be out there, and I don't have the money. So God will send one day money so we can develop a national footprint. And I got lots of ideas and things to do. But what we did in Northern Virginia and D.C. it's got to be replicated. That worked. And doing a footprint around the nation in 40 markets is my idea. And so anyway, that's another story about developing birth modes. But one day God will send me a money guy or gal to be able to reinstitute. So I'll stop right there because my passion is help to crush Planned Parenthood. By the way, when the church gets moving, folks, when the church gets busy, and now with Roe versus Wade possibly going down, I do predict 6-3. That's what I predict in June of next year, this year, 6-3 is going down. The church better get busy because we need these women can't abort. We've got to help them. And so the pregnancy care centers will be great. And by the way, my vision is to network all of them. There's about 2,700 pregnancy care centers around the nation, all doing great work, fantastic work. They all struggle. So I'm looking for somebody with wealth to come and help us put it all together. That's another story. And to help these women choose life, choose adoption when appropriate. Not everybody chooses adoption, but those that do. Right now we have about 900,000 abortions, only 20,000 adoptions a year. 20,000! It's crazy. So, and the demand for adoption is off the charts. So I'm going to give it back to you, Beth. That's my passion. Bless everybody that's listening to me and to us today in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for sharing your powerful testimony, Jim. I really appreciate that. Your testimony of how you adopted Anson and all about birth mothers. So thank you. So, and yeah, I know how you said that Romans 8:28 was one of your favorite scriptures. And I can see why you would choose that when you look at your testimony. You know, God works all things together for your good. You are an overcomer. You are supposed to have, the doctor gave you 5 years to live and look at you now.
By the way, Beth, you know, my wife died of AIDS in 03, and everybody in my network was dead but me. All my friends that grew up with hemophilia and that all was shot up with HIV, there's nobody left. I'm it. They're all gone.
All right. So the number one thing that we can do to help you accomplish your vision, what would that be then, Jim?
Well, number one would be prayer. You guys, that's number one, because God can move anything. He can keep a guy like me that should have been dead several times. He can keep me alive. He can bring the money. And I have this vision, because when the church gets going, when we have the friends walking out there to help these women choose life, choose adoption where appropriate, choose Jesus, we will crush effectively Planned Parenthood. They'll have no clients if the church gets going. So prayer, prayer, prayer. Because God will work out the money.
All right. Okay, looks like I thought you got disconnected.
Yeah, I had a spam call come in, sorry.
Okay, that's fine. All right, well, I know you answered a lot of the questions that I was going to ask you that in your testimony, but I will say one thing that I know you had mentioned to me, that one of your visions is that you want birth mothers to be so global that it would be just right in your face. Just like if you saw, you know, how we're always seeing FedEx or UPS or something like that. You want something like that, and that you are wanting also that to have the commercial on,
yep.
You're wanting a commercial on the Super Bowl, and then
yep.
you're wanting to,
yep.
you're wanting the funds also to be able to have some more call centers and for media and TV and all that, just for publicity and to have more call centers. So
yeah. Okay. Would you like me to say something to that? Because that's
sure.
A good summary.
Okay.
Well, a call center, there have been all the call centers. I'm looking at a major call center taking calls from all across the nation, let's say the nation, because this vision of birth mother friends is good for Europe. I've had people want to take Europe. I got people already in India that know about birth mothers, and it's a global ministry potentially, but just taking the U.S. Once we have the money, and when I was running the ministry here and had the money for it, we went to radio. And that costs a lot of money to be on radio, Beth. But when you have the bucks, and that's where the big bucks are needed for birth mothers, because I'm looking to raise tens of millions, 100 million is my number. And there are people with wealth out there that can do 100 million and not miss it. I talked about one guy that I've been pursuing for years that knows me, and he could do $100 million in It was a rounding error for him. He's worth billions. The bottom line is having a call center where women would call in, and then that call center would match them with the church or with the ministry in that area. But again, remember, the church is intimate, integral to birth mothers, not on the outside. Church is, because the church is where the friends come from. This is where the ministry goes. And I was telling you before, we had a major church in Northern Virginia had 25 to 30 friends at one church. They had thousands of members, one little entity. And so basically that whole thing of being on the Super Bowl. So you take the radio spot there in Northern Virginia. One spot I bought is, if you had the money, you could be in radio stations across the U.S. everywhere. And then of course, coming back to my vision to having a $300,000 spot, 30-second spot, Super Bowl. birth mothers. So that term birth mothers becomes ubiquitous. That's the term I used, ubiquity. Every time you turn around, there's birth mothers. And what's it convey to you, Beth? It conveys grace, mercy, love, life. That's the term that it needs. It takes a lot of money to develop that. So this is not a small thing. But that's my vision, because when those men and women come to support us, and I struggle now to make the bills right now, every month, all these websites, there's legal bills, there's all kinds of bills, and I struggle to make those, but I'm waiting for that right donor or donors so we can go on a national search for a director. That's my first employee once I have the money. And I'll tell you right now, I do not plan to take a salary. Very significant, because people look at the pro-life ministry and look at the salaries people make in nonprofits, and some of them are just stunning. If you know anything about that, they're stunning. So here people are saying, give me $10, and the CEO is making hundreds of thousands a year, and it's just unbelievable. I don't want a salary, folks. I'll make money on my own. I don't want to be free of any money issues. This is a calling to bring the gospel and life and love to these women and the guys, the men's side of the ministry too. So this is what floats my boat. And if I was in commercial real estate right now, we would not be talking to you, because I'd be doing deals. I elected almost 4 years ago to go after this and not after commercial real estate, where I made lots of money. Money's not my driver, but it takes it to put it on the commercials up. Kind of cool. You like that?
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us, Jim. I really appreciate that. And anybody else, they can go to your website. And you want to?
Yeah. By the way, we're on. We have a small. It's not active, but we have. We're on Facebook. You can find Birth Mother Ministries on Facebook. And in fact, I've seen people going there recently, I need to put a new message up there, but that's Facebook. And then of course the websites, as I said before, are birthmotherministries.org. By the way, if you do birthmotherministries.org/donate, that's how you give to the ministry. But you can call me and you can give my phone number. I'm very public. So if you want me to give the phone number, then just call me up.
All right. Well, I know also on our website, justice777.net, if they go to the abortion category on there, they will see your ministry also on our website. So they can also go there and find it as well. So,
thank you.
But we really appreciate you being with us today. Thank you for blessing us. God bless you, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay. That was great. So. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to share my perspective on what it is like for being a child that was adopted. Okay, you know, usually we try to give justice or fight for justice to be done, right? But I've actually been on the receiving end where God has brought me justice. But before I share my testimony and give you a perspective from an adoptive child's point of view, I want to let you know that when I give my testimony, I'm going to be using terms like adoptive mom, biological mom, or birth mom, so that it's not confusing if I say mom every time, okay? So, and I thank God that my birth mother chose life. You know, she placed me up for adoption instead of aborting me. I'm a living testimony that my life has been spared from the horrific injustice of abortion. So I'm approaching the throne of God for justice on behalf of the unborn, even the babies that are being aborted right now. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little bit of background. I was adopted when I was 5 days old. My adoptive parents, they weren't able to have children, and so they adopted my sister, who's a year older than myself, and I have two other brothers that are adopted. So there's four of us that are adopted. And lo and behold, a few years later, after they adopted all four of us kids, they had their biological child of their own. So there's actually five of us. So, but we always grew up knowing that we were adopted and that we knew that our parents chose us and that they loved us. So, we were very blessed. We lived in a Christian home, and I never really thought about finding my birth parents because I considered my adoptive parents, you know, mom and dad. And so about 7 years ago, my older sister, she found her biological mom and other relatives on Ancestry. And so she asked me if I wanted to find mine. I was a little bit hesitant because I didn't want to hurt my adoptive parents' feelings. You know, I thought, well, I don't want them to feel like they're not my parents. I'm trying to find somebody else. So I didn't pursue that avenue. But, you know, and I also didn't want to disrupt my biological parents' lives because I thought they're living their life where I'm living mine. And then I thought, well, what if they think I'm just coming to find them to gain an inheritance or something? I don't want them to think that I'm just there for, you know, looking for money or something. So I just kind of put that on hold and I didn't really think about it for a while. And about 4.5 years ago, God changed my heart. And I really had an urge that I thought, man, I want to find them because I want to make sure that they're Christians because I thought, you know, I would hate to, you know, not have them be a Christian and then, you know, not be able to go to heaven. And then I thought, well, I really wanted to let them know that I love them, that I'm not mad at them, that I don't have anything against them. I'm not mad that they, you know, that they placed me up for adoption. And so I just wanted to let them know. And I wanted to thank them for, you know, placing me and giving me a chance for life and not aborting me, you know. And so, and they also thought, well, it'd be kind of nice to find my family history. You know, whenever you go to the doctors, they always ask you, well, they give you a list of stuff. Well, do you know, have you had this or that or that? And I always have to tell them, well, I'm adopted. I don't know my past history. So I thought, well, that would be nice as well. So how it started was then I did a DNA test and the search on Ancestry began. And I was so blessed to have my sister because she found her biological mom and some of her relatives. And so she was the one that she said, if I did the DNA test, that she would help me to find mine. And so she worked for months. She worked for about 6 months and just day, you know, hours and hours of days. And at one point my husband helped as well towards the end. And we were, you know, she used different resources like Google and Ancestry. And Ancestry, they'll give you hints on, and then Public Trees and Facebook. And we were also blessed that when my mom and dad, my adoptive mom and dad, when they went to adopt me, that we had some, they gave us a list of facts about my parents. And they gave us, you know, just like, you know, what is their height? What is their weight? What was their, what kind of job did they do? It's just some of the different backgrounds. And one very key clue to helping to find my biological dad was that my biological dad played the accordion. Well, how many people play the accordion, you know? And he was a science teacher and a brother. So when the time came to, you know, we actually looked at my husband looked at the family tree and looked at all the different clues and saw that my biological dad had a brother. And so he called him, and of course his brother didn't know anything about me, but when my husband said, well, did your brother play the accordion? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, okay, well, was your brother a science teacher? And he said, yeah. And so, you know, it's just, he ended up talking to us, and it ended up confirming that he was my biological dad. And he was even able to, you know, name the girl that my biological dad dated in college. So we were really excited. And so the miracle of that whole story was that we were able to find my birth mom and dad on the same day. And so that's, you know, that's no coincidence. So God helped us locate them after 52 years. And I remember on my first conversation with my biological dad, you know, he never expected me to call him. The only thing he knew about me was, you know, my birth date and when I was born. And he said that he was praying for me ever since the day I was born, and that he prayed before I would die that he would find out who I was. And the phone conversation with my mom, she was also surprised, very surprised. When my mom told me that, she said, well, you know, I told her that I had a good life, and she said that she had been married for almost 50 years, and nobody knew about me except for her parents and her aunt, who were, you know, and they were already dead, and her sister was the one that was alive. And so as she was telling me this, and she was just kind of, you know, saying, well, nobody knew about me. I'm glad you've had a good life, and so did I. And all of a sudden, something in my spirit said, oh, no, she's going to reject and abandon me again. And I thought, well, where did that come from? Because I thought, I didn't think I had any feelings of rejection or abandonment. But then I was afraid that she was, you know, didn't want to have anything to do with me. And I realized that God was showing me that I did have some abandonment and rejection issues that I guess I had buried or wasn't aware from them. And he wanted to bring it up to the surface because he knows that I love ministering to orphans and I love to play with them and to pray for them and just kind of minister to them when we go on mission trips. And God wanted my heart healed so that whenever I'm with them, I would be able to relate to them a little bit better, and I wouldn't have any, you know, triggers or anything that would try to cause something to stir up in me if I wasn't healed. And so God's grace was, you know, exposed in those, and then he was able to heal me from that. And so I was really happy that my birth mother said that it would be nice for us to keep in touch when our phone conversation ended. She said she still wanted to keep in touch with me, and she said it would just take time to tell her, you know, family. And so the first meeting that when we, both my biological mom and dad, they came down to visit us here, they each came in a few months apart. And I remember just being at the airport, and my heart was just beating like a little kid, and I was just anticipating them. And my birth dad was the one that came the first time. And my sister and my adoptive mom, they came all the way from Montana to Texas just to meet them. And so that was really special to have them there. And I remember my birth dad, he hugged me. I was the first one that he hugged. And then he went over and hugged my adoptive mom, and he just really thanked her for taking care of. He said, "Thank you for taking care of my baby girl," and that was really special to both of them to be able to do that. And then my birth mom, when we met her and her husband at the airport, my daughter and two granddaughters were able to be there, and I remember what was special about that. You know, we were all excited to see her as well. But I remember after we hugged my birth mother, she looked at me in my face and she just whispered, "You're beautiful." And I thought that was so special. You know, it was the first time she saw me, and here I am, you know, at that time I was 53 years old. I found her at 52, but I was 53. And I thought, wow, you know, you have your birth mother hugging you, and it's like you're looking at your baby girl for the first time. And that, I just remember that she had a beautiful smile when she told me that. So that'll be a memory that I will remember. But it was instant love, respect, acceptance, and hospitality, just, you know, with everything. And when my birth mother visited me for the first time, she told me about my birth. And I remember she was telling me that when she was pregnant, she went to stay with her aunt. And then when she started to show, she went to a home for unwed mothers. It was like a dorm and had roommates, and that was where I was adopted from. She was able to keep me for 3 days in a special home that she lived there. She said it was a really hard decision and wondered if she made the right choice. And she said that she wanted me to have two loving parents, and she didn't know how to care for me because she was only 19 years old and she was overwhelmed. Before I was adopted, my birth mom took me in and had me baptized, and I thought this was really special. She asked God to watch over me, and so, you know, she loved me. She wanted to make sure that I was baptized, and she asked God to watch over me. So, you know, that was really pretty. So, yeah, it was like a christening. So my birth mom, she also got to hold me and rock her in her arms. So when she was able to be at that special house, she was able to hold me. They had a special room where they could just sit and hold their babies. And so she would just rock me. I remember when she told me that she held her arms out like a little baby, and she was telling me the story, and she looked down and she was just rocking her arms like a little baby like this. And she looked down and she just started crying, and she just said, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And you know, it's just, it touched my heart so much, and I just knew how much she loved her. And that's the hardest decision. And that's the thing, when you have a mom that gives your child up for adoption, it's a hard decision. It's not something that's easy for them. And they do. They love you, and they love you so much that they just that they're wanting the best for you. That they are putting their needs aside. That's the most selfless decision. That they are not thinking about themselves. A lot of times they're thinking about the baby. They want to know who can take care of them. Because sometimes you're in circumstances where you don't have you don't have the finances. You don't have all these different things. And she needed me. She wanted me to have two loving parents and someone that could take care of me. So I really appreciate her for that. And I know it was a hard decision for her. But, you know, when she was telling me all this stuff, I thought, you know what? My mom, she's always loved me from the beginning. You know, she also has been showing me her love as she sends me cards. And I remember this, the very first birthday that I had after I found her, she sent me a birthday card. And it was so sweet because the little envelope was bent a little bit, and it was because she wrote a little note in there, and she had said, "Well, this card, I bought this card ever since you were born, and I've looked at it every year on your birthday, and I thought about you." And so, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, they don't, if your mom gave you up, placed you up for adoption, she doesn't forget about you. And I know that I also had a text from my dad, and it also showed that he loves me. He had said, "I loved you since the day you were born, and I never knew you till 50 years later. Too bad you don't live closer so that we could have more one-on-one time together. I'm just thankful God answered my prayers." And so, you know, that was special knowing that he loved me as well. And my biological mom, she prayed that she couldn't see me here on earth, that she'd see me again in heaven one day. And she always prayed that I'd be healthy and happy and a Christian and have a good husband. So I realized that my biological mom and dad, that, you know, they loved me. They never forgot about me, and they prayed for me. So the blessings of reuniting with my biological mom and dad is that, you know, God redeems the broken things, and the joy of knowing them. The joy of knowing them and knowing that they're Christians and developing a friendship with them. We were blessed to be able to go to their 50th wedding anniversary and to see and to meet all their friends and relatives. We're able to go and look at a lot of the different waterfalls and see God's beauty and just be able to share that memory with them. And then when I went to go visit my dad, we were able to go and drive past my old house in Maryland and then went to the fort where Fort Washington, where I used to go sledding down the hills when it was snowing and go and watch the fireworks on the hills. And so that was kind of special to be able to do that and share it with my biological dad. And so, you know, another blessing with finding my birth parents was that I found out that my mother named me Deborah. And so I thought, wow, well, there's power in names. And so I have the name Beth, which means house of God, temple of God. But I also have the name Deborah. And I've always loved Deborah in the Bible because she's a woman of God. And so it just gave me confidence of who I am in Christ, gave me my identities, because some of the characteristics of that I've desired for years now match my name, Deborah. You know, she was a prophetess, a judge, used her abilities to serve. She helped people improve their lives and find freedom from their oppressors. She was bold, courageous, full of wisdom, faith, leadership, obedience, and worship, no selfishness. And I thought, well, that's who I desire to be. And I thought, well, now that's my name. And so I thought that, you know, that's not a coincidence of God. So I just thought that was really blessed me when my mom told me that was my name. And so, you know, and what the blessings of finding my biological parents is that, you know, I have four parents that love me, four different people praying for me, you know, and so it's a blessing to find your biological parents. So God brought justice to me because he healed me of rejection and abandonment. God brought justice to my biological parents. He healed their hearts. And they were wondering about each other. They kind of thought, well, I wonder what happened to my biological mom would have wondered what happened to my dad. My biological dad wondered what happened to my mom. And they were wanting to ask for forgiveness for each other, but never could get a hold of each other. So I was able to go to both sides and just, you know, ask for forgiveness for each one and tell them that. And so that brought healing to them. And that brought justice to them to know that I'm happily married and I'm a Christian. I'm not mad at them. And so God has brought justice and restoration in our families. And I just thank him for that. And both of my moms, my adoptive mom and my biological mom, they became friends. And so that was a miracle too. And I just thank God for that, that they got to talk on the phone three times together and wrote letters, exchanged pictures. And this all happened. My adoptive mom passed away last year, but they were able to do this, you know, before she passed away. And I thought what was really special was that my birth mom gave my adoptive mom a special blanket. It had crosses all over it and John 3:16 scripture verse. And my birth mother loved that blanket. She had it on her lap every day. And even when she went to the hospital, she had it on her lap. And my birth mom also gave my adoptive mom a little stuffed lamb. And my adoptive mom was so tickled about it because her name was Mary. And so she always said Mary had a little lamb. And about the last 5 months before she passed away, I was up there taking care of her. So I got to be with her every day. And every day she had that blanket on her, and she had that little lamb sitting in her chair. And it was so special because whenever somebody would come in her room, she would always show her the little lamb and say, "See, Mary had a little lamb." And then she would always say, "Beth's birth mom gave it to me." And so she was so proud of that. And so, and even when she went to the hospital, I brought the little lamb for her so she could have it in her hospital bed. And I remember several times she would wake up, and the nurses would have changed their beds or moved stuff around, and she's looking all over for her little lamb, and she was just wanting that. So there was a special attachment between my biological mom and my adoptive mom, and it was such a sentimental to me as well that when my mom passed away, I decided to put that special blanket that my biological mom gave my mom and put that on the casket for the casket piece instead of flowers, and then she was buried with that little lamb. And so both my moms were appreciative of each other, of the role that each one placed, you know, gave to me. And so we can see that God's restoration came full circle all the way around. And this on March 22nd of this year, it'll be 4 years since finding my biological mom. And so I thank the Lord for what he's done for me. God is in control. He knew one day that I was going to be conceived and placed up for adoption. It was all in his plan, and I thank him for it. So anyway, so that's my testimony. So all right. So now my good friend Shelley Miller, who I'm pleased I had met her from a Power 2000 Legacy Dream Team 3. Several years ago, and I am pleased that she's going to be sharing her perspective on the adoption from the biological mother's point of view. And I know a lot of you have seen Shelley before. She's with Empower 2000, and she is a fantastic storyteller, and I've heard part of her testimony, and I'm so excited to hear the rest of it. And so I know you guys will be blessed, so I really appreciate you being here, Shelley, and sharing your testimony with us. So thank you.
Thank you, Beth and Dr. Joseph Peck, for inviting me to speak today so that I can share the wonders of God's all-encompassing love and spectacular provision for my daughter and me. Now, as joyous as things and delightful as they are today, it was not like this back then. From the moment I knew I was expecting a child, fear and panic set in. As I look back now, it's hard for me to understand how I was able to make any sort of rational choice or decision due to the overwhelming terror clouding my mind. From this latter-day perspective, however, what I do see at work is the guiding grace of God, tenderly working through that whirlwind of emotion to grant me the ability to protect the child with the best plan. I knew immediately that due to multiple circumstances, I would not be able to keep the baby. One of these was that the bio father had turned out to be a dangerous person with uncontrolled anger, a distinct leaning toward violence, and a strong dislike of children. At all costs, I had to choose a path that would protect this child from all threat of danger. Do you notice that I say the child and the baby, not my baby? This is a discipline I imposed on myself. A friend of mine had a baby she could not keep, and following the delivery, she had the baby brought to her room more than once. She made every effort to bond with him as strongly as she could, and in the months that followed, she wailed and cried and moaned over this loss in her life, making it difficult to even be around her. Although I had compassion for her, I felt her actions were unfair to everyone. So I determined that no one should suffer because of my actions if I could prevent it, that I would keep the knowledge of the baby to myself and three close friends. I knew that this baby was destined for someone who could not have one, who really wanted to be a mom, but could not physically conceive or carry a child. My parents, who loved children, and after recovering from the shock, would have been so excited to have a first grandchild born to them, ultimately went to heaven, still not knowing of her existence. I could not bring myself to break their hearts by telling them of a grandchild they could never know in this life. I'm still sad today that my daughter and my mom and dad did not have the opportunity to enjoy each other on this earth. So what was I to do? Who would help me? My friend Sue, a few years older than me, was working at a regional hospital in another state. I called her and explained, and she said, "Don't you worry, I'll come get you." And she came right away and took me home with her. At that point, I was 7 months along and had not yet seen a doctor. Glory to God, both the baby and I were perfectly well with no issues. I asked my friend, "Where do people go to church around here?" And she replied, "Well, I guess I could drop you off at the church where the hospital administrator and his family go." Oh, that sounds so offhand, so nonchalant. But this seemingly minor decision was a major turning point for my daughter and me. When Sue dropped me off in front of the church, I read the sign out front, "Pentecostal Holiness Church." Oh, the Lord has such a sense of humor. I did not think it was funny, though, since here I was, the unwed mother, as we called it then, faced with entering a holiness church. Faint-hearted as I was, however, I knew I had to go in, so I did. I cannot imagine a warmer welcome than I received that day. Roe v. Wade was only a couple of years old then, and it may have been that they welcomed an opportunity to give that wicked ruling a black eye by caring for me and for the child. They gathered me in, and I came to know and love them deeply and abidingly. One dear lady was the hospital administrator's mother-in-law, a matriarch known as Grandma Caroline. Not her real name. But she orchestrated all manner of loving attention to detail for us and made it her business to oversee our safety and well-being. Finally, the day of delivery arrived. All went very well, and a healthy, beautiful child was born. In those days, gender reveal happened in the delivery room. Yet, I was still practicing my discipline to the point that I kept my eyes closed and therefore did not know whether boy or girl. I heard the cry of the newborn, however, which pierced my heart and has never completely left my ears. Unbeknownst to me, Grandma Caroline had informed her son-in-law, the administrator, "This baby is part of our family. You make it happen." And he did, selecting a couple in their extended family to be the adoptive parents. If I had been able to make the selection myself, I could never have made a better choice than this lovely couple who proved to be the ideal parents for her. But I knew none of this at the time. And I should tell you that as a protective move, I had falsified all of the papers related to the adoption. Nowadays, that would never work. But this was pre-internet. So every name, address, state, and other particulars were completely made up. And all of that paperwork flew right through. I was so relieved. Because I had done this, Mr. Dangerous could never find her, if he ever learned that she existed, which he did not know. Nor could she find him. At this point, I did not know the gender of my child, where the baby would be sent, was not aware of the adoption arrangements made by Grandma Caroline or any other details. And this was the situation for over 40 years. A last step remained in the finalization of the adoption. Having returned home, I subsequently received legal papers with instructions to sign, have them notarized, and then return. I found an insurance agent who was a notary and went in to take care of this business. Engraved in my memory is the sadness in his eyes as he looked into mine after reviewing the papers. "Oh, honey," he said with great compassion, "are you sure you want to do this?" My discipline shook at the foundation. Careful moves I'd made were perilously close to naught, and my mind reeled. Yet strength flowed into me at the crucial moment. This was about the baby, not me. I gave him my best effort, a nod. He gravely notarized, then kindly patted my shoulder. And it was final. No turning back now. Sick at heart, I went to the mailbox. For the next 43 years, I did not mention anything about this period of my life to anyone. My three friends who knew nearly forgot it had happened. My comfort thought was that one day I would meet my child in heaven. Never, ever did I one time imagine that she would enter my life on this earth, that we would be reunited. And one day, in April 2018, I was going through email, and I noticed one from 23andMe that said they had received a message for me. So I opened it. Unbelievably, miraculously, the message was from my daughter. Our DNA had matched 50%, indicating I was her mother. I read it again. I was paralyzed and barely able to breathe. My world was tilting. I had prayed so many times that my child would not suffer from rejection due to my extreme determination to consider him or her meant to be someone else's baby. I had thought if I somehow met this grown person, which I did not expect, they would be very angry with me. Oh, not so. Not so at all. With great joy and her permission, I will read her letter to me. Dear SM, that's how I was shown on 23andMe, just my initials. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. My name is, I was born on September 3rd at this particular hospital in this particular town and placed for adoption. I was adopted by a loving family and grew up in this town where I participated in 4-H and a variety of high school clubs and organizations. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior as a teenager and was baptized in the Methodist Church. I attended several different colleges and eventually graduated with a degree in English with an emphasis in creative writing. I love to read, write, travel, and bake. I'm married to my husband, Brian, for 19 years. He is funny and kind, and I count myself fortunate to have found such a partner. 2.5 years ago, we welcomed our son, Parker, through the miracle of adoption. He has blessed our whole family with his enormous smile and silly personality. I recently received my 23andMe DNA test results, and they predict that you are my biological mother, as 50% of our DNA matches. I'm sure this letter comes as a surprise, and I don't want to make you uncomfortable or cause challenges in your life. If you are comfortable contacting me back, I would love to learn more about you and my biological family, including medical history. If you are not comfortable with contact, I understand. I have always been thankful for your decision to choose life for me. I can't imagine how difficult the choices you faced at the time of my birth must have been. When my thoughts turn to you over the years, they've been filled with grateful love and a hope that you found a life that made you happy and fulfilled. Each year, on my birthday, I call a local radio station and ask to dedicate the song Angels Among Us by Alabama to my birth mother. It's always been my hope that the song would reach your ear and give you peace. I hope I will hear back from you. If not, I hope this information answers any questions you might have had about what my life was like. With a grateful heart. Oh, in June of that year, we met at a British tea room wearing big hats and tenderly having our first look at each other. Soon, we were chatting away eagerly. Afterward, we joined Brian and Parker to go to the zoo, which completed a lovely all-around first meeting. Oh, we sing about our God being the way maker. Wow, is he ever? Our God is gracious, loving, supremely creative, has a fabulous sense of humor, and he's the most powerful networker of connection and relationship. He comes through in large and small ways to bring us into alignment with his original plan. Thank you very much for your attention.
Wow, Shelley, that was great. I heard part of your testimony, but I didn't hear that a lot of that stuff about your daughter, and I'm so glad you read that letter. That was very touching to myself. Oh, wow. I know that touched a lot of people. And how special for your daughter to write that letter and for you to get that and to know all of that history. And you know what you mentioned to me when I was talking to you on the phone one time? You mentioned that you'd receive the box, like a treasure chest, a box full of all her like special papers or different things that they were collected over her, 43 years of life. How did you feel when you went through that treasure box?
Well, it was the first time that I knew that I'd had a daughter. And this was actually before we found each other on 23andMe. And once again, I had to push it aside because Grandma Caroline actually wanted to try to get me to my daughter's wedding, which would have been extremely awkward. Okay. And so that didn't work out, but I did receive that box of materials. And so I saw what she looked like. I saw what her activities were included in this box for things such as her wedding invitation and the thank you note for the gift Grandma Caroline had been. And, interestingly, we both print. We do not do cursive writing. It's not that anybody told us that we should be that way, but we just are. And with the difference of two letters, the way we form them, it looks like the same handwriting. There are so many other samenesses about us that her husband is just agog whenever we're together. He's just like, I can't believe this. I just can't believe this. Because, I did not have the privilege of raising her, but the similarities between us are quite extreme. And I am just blessed beyond measure. There are many details like that, Beth, that are so wonderful. But for the time constraints, I just couldn't share all that. I told Beth, well, it's going to take at least 30 minutes. She said, oh, Shelley, you're supposed to do it in 7. I went, oh. That's why I wrote it out, so I could stay under control, kind of. And here's a little secret. My daughter is on the call today. We are not going to have an introduction because she and I still fly under the radar a little bit due to some extended family concerns. But I still appreciate her joining and the graciousness of her permission and agreement about me sharing today. It's a big deal.
Yes. Well, yes, I just, God has blessed you in your relationship, and how sweet to that I was really touched by the letter. And then when you went and said that she even dedicated a song to you, how special. And I know it really touched your heart when you got the letter to find out that she was baptized, that she was a Christian. I'm sure that really meant.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But, I've actually been that rule that I imposed on myself for all those years, decades, made it so difficult for me to talk about this. It was like I was breaching a forbidden thing, and so it took me a couple of months before I was able to tell anyone else that she'd gotten in touch with me, that we were being reunited. And today has been very challenging for me, but I'm thankful that the Lord gave me grace to be able to do it, because this is really about Him. Of course, it's about the two of us as well, but it's about what He did for us and how He made a way when there was just a disastrous, a seemingly disastrous path ahead of us. And no, it was protected. It was provided. It was everything safe and loving. So, yeah. No complaints.
Well, Shelley, when you said that you had three friends that knew, not very many people knew about you. So now when you had to carry that, that secret of being, of being pregnant and placing your child up for adoption, then once your daughter found you, did you realize, and you realized you didn't have to keep a secret anymore, that probably felt like, did you have a huge burden just lift off of you? Did you?
The burden was that I didn't, that lifted was that I didn't have to wait until heaven to meet her. That's what lifted from me was the joy of discovering that. But I still had trouble talking about it to people, even those three friends who knew. Yeah. Uh-huh. That was hard. And really the people at my church still don't know. They're still unaware of this. So, you all are very special, okay, that I trusted you to share with you today.
Yeah. So let me ask you one other question here. So I know that my birth mother said that whenever holidays came around, like birthday, especially my birthday, you know, Mother's Day, you know, those two holidays specifically was harder for her. Was that kind of a harder?
I restricted myself from going to places like that emotionally because I just felt so strongly that I did not deserve to be involved in her life, and that welcoming any softer emotions about it would not help. Okay. Yeah. So yes, I would think of her and I would pray. I did. I prayed all the time that she would not be devastated by rejection. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, I didn't let myself go there, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. So let me ask you one more question, and then we can ask to see if Jim wants to come back on the line, come back with us, and maybe, you know, we can come together real quick. So what advice, Shelley, do you have any advice that you could give women who are suffering from shame, guilt, regret, unforgiveness towards themselves, maybe even because they chose the adoption plan for their baby? Is there anything that you might could say that could encourage them?
Well, throw yourself into God's arms, because he knows the whole thing and he understands every part of it, and he can make things happen that you think are completely impossible. I mean, when I signed up for 23andMe, I didn't know people were finding each other like this. I mean, you know, that I signed up in 16. This happened in 18. At that time, it was still kind of a new thing to hear about these, you know, parents and children that had been reunited through that. And so I wasn't expecting it at all, but he did it anyway. See, I tried to discipline myself and make all these arrangements. And, oh, my poor daughter had a terrible time trying to find me. She had gone through all sorts of things, and it was actually at the point of hiring a private investigator when her friend said, please, please, just do me a favor and try 23andMe. I know you tried Ancestry and didn't get a hit, but try 23andMe. And see, he did it. That's all him. That was all him. His wisdom flowing through the friend. Okay, giving her a prophetic word of what to do. And so all of it, that's my main thing is, you know, you need to trust God. And whatever feelings you have or whatever you long for or whatever, he knows that. And he's going to see to it that things are brought right in your life as you seek him about it.
Great. Thank you for that answer, Shelley. I appreciate that. I know that's going to help a lot of women out there who have gone through the same thing that you have. So Jim, would you like to join us and see if there's any, you know, want to just kind of converse a little bit here? Anything you want to?
At least he's smiling.
Well, Shelley, thank you for coming to us. As one attendee said, that we'll keep it all a secret. I actually think about you. You're an example of the multitude of women out there. And see, I've been contacted over the years by women that were forced to place for adoption. They didn't make a choice as you did, forced. And they're angry. And they're ladies that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever. And they came after me. So I've learned to deal with it. And actually had a conversation for 2 hours with one lady out of Texas. And it's a wonderful conversation. But I say that because my ministry, we used to have a thing called Birth Mother's Day, the Saturday before Mother's Day. And we had this reconciliation was happening because of Facebook, too. So I've seen this before. And it's glorious because so many women out there like you, there's millions of you. Worldwide, of course, millions, because... And I think that you had to protect yourself, you said, right? You had to protect yourself from the grief. Now, here's the thing I told I told Beth, you'll never hear this anybody but me. The saddest day in America is Mother's Day, because on Mother's Day, there's so many women out there that have a secret like you and nobody knows, including their husband. And so I don't care what church you're in America, it's the saddest day in America, because that heart that you have, that you demonstrated, is aching and nobody knows. And so I have a heart for women like you and others to be able to come out of the shadows, if you will, to be reconciled, to find peace. And see, you have Jesus, Shelley. So many, think about the woman that doesn't have Jesus. I can't imagine.
Me either. Me either. I don't know how they make it.
It's painful to think about.
I'm really thankful for the compassionate heart that the Lord has given you toward the birth mom and the dads as well, birth dads. Yeah, because that is an enormous issue, as you point out, that there's so many. And one thing, you know, the times have changed. When Beth was born, there was still so much censure and condemnation and so on.
Sure.
And her birth mom really suffered from that. And my situation was 10 years later. And now everybody was starting just to be thankful that the person was having the baby instead of destroying it, you know, because of Roe v. Wade having come in. So it changed a lot. And so there are a lot of various experiences on a continuum, you know, from extreme to not very bad. So, yeah.
I wanted to hug you. I wanted to hug Beth. I couldn't do it through this internet thing, but I'm just like wanting to grab you and hug you. Here's my hug to you and Beth and to everybody here. And I'm just touched by the sharing. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. I appreciate all three of you guys. So, all right. Well, now we're going to have a special blessings for the mothers and fathers. So we're going to have Therese come in and join us. So she'll come and join us. There she is. Thank you, Therese. I appreciate you being here.
Oh, you're welcome. So you have to excuse my little eye. I have a little bit of an eye issue going on. But I'm just really grateful, Beth, for the privilege and honor of giving the mother's blessing. And so, you know, right now I just want you to just ask the Father to be upon you. And as we were praying this morning, when we opened, I saw a waterfall and I asked the Lord, what is the waterfall for? And he said, it's a waterfall of love. So as I read this out, I'm going to first ask you to close your eyes and take a deep breath. And I ask you to feel as though that waterfall of love is pouring on you. Breathe in peace and breathe out pain. Imagine your feet, toes curling into the dirt. Think of yourself as being rooted in Christ. How did you come to be here? In the beginning, you were without form. And through the formation of a seed and an egg, your life came into existence. You are a miracle. You are an original creation and there is no one else like you. Your DNA is unique and all of heaven is waiting for the life you were created to be unfolded. Please understand that the blessing is a covenantal transfer of the favor of God for the future of your life. I declare that you are a beloved daughter in whom the Father is well pleased. You are a princess warrior for the kingdom. You are the king's kid, and therefore I invite you to be part of the God squad. You are welcome, included, and will never be excluded. And from this day forward, may the hand of God's goodness and mercy rest upon your life. May you experience his love, his forgiveness, his power, his provision for everything that you touch. If you are married, may your spouse be blessed, your children, your health, your finances, and your livelihood be blessed. May the goodness of God cover you because you are underneath his covenant, his supernatural umbrella of protection. May you walk in victory and not in defeat. May the Lord bless you to release all shame and pain. May the Lord release you from burden of remorse. And may the Lord lift up your heart to beat in rhythm with his. May the shalom of God infiltrate every part of your body. Be released now to be the person that God created you to be. Be free, my love, and live. Step into the reality of Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. May you flourish in who you were created to be. For you, my child, are no longer a victim. You are victorious in Christ. You plus God equals everything you need. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And I decree you are a victoriously beautiful. You are blessed to be a blessing. And I bless you to go forth and be fruitful and multiply. Remember that I love you and I cherish you. And I decree the words of Psalm 139 over your life. It's for the pure and shining ones. Lord, you know everything there is to know about these women, for you perceive every moment of their hearts and their souls, and you understand every thought even before it enters their minds. You are so intimately aware of them, Lord. You read their hearts like an open book, and you know all the words that they are about to speak even before they form a sentence. You know every step they take before their journey even begins. You've gone into the future to prepare the way, and in your kindness, you follow behind them to spare them from the harm of the past. You have laid your hand on them. This is just too wonderful and deep and incomprehensible. Your understanding of them brings them to wonder and strength. Where could they go from your spirit? Where could they run and hide from your face? If they go to heaven, you're there. And if they go down to the realm of the dead, that you are there too. And if they fly on the wings into the shining dawn, you're there. And if they fly into the radiant sunset, you're waiting there too. Wherever they go, your hand will guide them. Your strength will empower them. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide them. For in your presence is everywhere, bringing light into the night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day, and there's no difference between the two. You form them in their innermost being, shaping their delicate insides and with intricate outsides, and wove them together in their mother's wombs. I thank you, God, for making them so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about how thoroughly you know each of these women, Lord. You have formed every bone in their bodies, and when they were created in the secret place, carefully, skillfully, you shaped them from nothing into something. You saw who you created them to be before they came, and before they ever even seen the light of day, the day, numbers of days were planned for them. You already recorded them in their books. Every single precious moment you are thinking of them, how precious and how wonderful to consider that you cherish them constantly from every moment. Oh God, your desires toward them are more than the grains of sand on every shore. And when they awake in the morning, you're still with them. I decree that heaven's sound is being released over all that concerns you, and that you shall have a divine reversal on anything negative. Ladies, you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not below. You are an overcoming, abounding in all the good works of the Lord. I bless you to soar on the wings of an eagle and to fly away into who God created you to be. I bless you to live. I bless you to laugh. And I bless you to love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Jim, would you please pray over the fathers?
Father, you know there are a lot of men out there that live in silence. There is a multitude of men out there that don't have anybody to talk to. Nobody knows but them and you, Lord. I've talked to those men. I've seen those men weep. Lord, you know that day in church when that man wept about the abortion his girlfriend had had years before, and now he's a family. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help Christian people like on this call to reach out to the men who grieve in silence. They're in darkness. They have no one to talk to. Nobody knows. I pray one day that ministries like Birth Mothers and Pregnancy Care Centers and churches, the men would be able to come out of the shadows and grieve and say to another man, a preacher, a minister, and say, my heart is hurt for years, for decades, because I was a party to an abortion. I even forced my girlfriend to abort. Oh, Lord, I forced her to abort. And all those men that didn't force, but they couldn't stop it, that I've met, they're grieving, Lord. I pray that the church, that your church, Lord, your holy church, would be activated, and these preachers around America would stand up and preach the full counsel of God regarding every matter and every issue. Lord, bring a revival to this nation. Bring a revival to the men. May the men in the pulpit stand up and be bold. Be bold for religious liberty and everything that founded this nation. But Jesus, you were behind this nation, the smallest nation, a small nation, less than 5% of the land area and the people, but a mighty nation because the Lord, you are here. I pray, Lord, again for these men, these preachers, and all these men that hurt from abortion. Help the church reach out to them. Help them to come out of the shadows and surrender their lives to you. If they don't know you, I pray for salvation. I pray for the third great awakening to spread over this nation. We need it to survive. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on men and women and all of us, Lord. I pray this in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Those powerful prayers. You know, Therese and Jim, the prayers that you prayed were prayed over the mothers and fathers who have walked through either adoption process or an abortion in the past. They're either walking through it now or even for the future, because we're going to be having a replay. So it's that prayer encompasses all those situations, past, present, and futures, for those people that have walked through those stages of life. And so I appreciate those powerful prayers. I know it's going to bring a lot of healing to a lot of people. So I wanted to just say a blessing prayer over the children who have been adopted. So I'm just going to just say a little prayer for them. So this is a prayer for all the people that have been adopted. Okay, so child, I call your spirit to attention in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen with your spirit to God's word for you. Psalms 139, 13 through 16 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Child, your father made you special. You are a very special person, created and crafted and designed by God your Father. Before the foundation of the world, your Father planned for you. You're no accident. You did not have to exist, but your Father willed you to existence. He chose the day and the time that you would start your life. He chose your parents, and he wove you together in your mother's womb. God determined your birth order and placed you precisely where he wanted you to be. He considered whether you'd be placed in a large family or a small family. God knew whether you'd be raised by your birth family or whether you'd be adopted into a second family. He thought through all of these details. God chose every one of your 23 pairs of chromosomes. He chose every one of your 10,000 plus genes. He chose every one of your spiritual heritage. He reached back into your father's bloodline and your mother's bloodline. And from generations past, your heavenly father chose different parts of your heritage. He personally selected generational treasures for your spirit, soul, and body. He knew every facet of your life and carefully chose all the treasures that you would need to succeed because he knew what your calling was when he designed you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bless you. And I bless you to know that you are not a mistake. So may fear vanish from your heart. You are not rejected and abandoned. Your mother's choice to place you up for adoption was a choice she made out of love. She loved you and wanted the best for you. She was willing to place you up for adoption so that you could have a more stable life that had unlimited opportunities. I pray that the Lord would bless and heal your mind and your heart, and that God would reveal to you the lies that you've been believing, and that he would replace all lies with the truth. I bless the Lord that he would vanish and melt away all anger, unforgiveness, any negative emotions, and fill you with peace and joy and thankfulness. I bless you with the ability to brush aside disappointment, pain, and sorrow, and return quickly to your place of joy. I bless you with the ability to cry to God to rescue you. May you overcome these enemies through the power of your Heavenly Father, not by your strength, enemies of abandonment, rejection, anger, or any other negative emotion. I bless you to go to God and let him fight for you. I bless you with seeing Jesus heal your heart and emotions so that you can share your glory story with others. May your testimony give faith and hope to others and cause them to look to Jesus for intervention in their own life. May you find hope in the fact that God will never assign you a problem that you can't defeat with his help. I bless you with courage and joy. I bless you with the joy of knowing that your Father takes very careful inventory of what you're going through. Nothing escapes his notice. I bless you with turning to him quickly for his presence and his comfort. I bless you with being infused with joy, life, and strength when you're unjustly treated because of your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which he prepared in advance for us to do." I bless you to know that you exist because God willed it. You are valuable to God, and you don't need to prove yourself to the world. You are valuable, and you are loved. Amen. Okay. Now we're going to be moving into... Teresa's going to come back and join us again now. She's got beaming in and beaming out. There she is. This is going to be all right.
I'm kind of like Scotty. Beam me up. So we're doing a time of prophecy. And for those that don't know what prophecy is, it's one of the gifts of the Spirit. In the Bible, it says it is good that you are enthusiastic and passionate about spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, that we are passionately to pursue this gift. So what is prophecy? It's a spoken word of inspiration. a spoken word that illuminates the structure of God's purpose and plan for your life. And it's delivering a message that God wants to give to his people about a particular moment or a specific situation. It is for the use of edification, building each other up, to exhort, the lifting of each other up. It's for edification, exhortation, and comfort, and to come alongside someone and comfort them. Usually only the gift of prophecy, the prophecies that would come in with a word of harshness is usually delivered by someone that carries the office of a prophet. There's many facets to the gift of prophecy. And like the Holy, it says in the Holy Word, to pursue this gift passionately. I love the gift of prophecy. It has changed my life. So if you don't mind, I'm going to start. I have words for each of you, but in honor of time, I'm going to just deliver Jim's word, and I'm going to send your words, Beth and Shelly, via email. So, Jim, I already love Beth and Shelly, and now I love you. So I'm going to release over you, if it's okay, the words the Father spoke to me while you were giving your testimony. Is that okay?
Sure.
So, Jim, I heard over you that you have a healing anointing. And what the enemy meant for harm, I will change for good. Be prepared for expansion, my son. Do not concern yourself with the funds. I've got it, says God. You will be pivotal in the Catholic community, especially in the mothers who've aborted their babies. I hear the Lord declare over you that the Lord is washing your blood and cleansing you, that there'll be no residue of any sickness from the past. The reason it was only $500 to start up that first process, it was triple grace. Your baggage is turning into garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And throughout your life, I've had angels on assignments. Your tears will bloom into seeds of love, and it's time to write your story. MirthMothersMinistry.org is going to be worldwide. I also heard Ecclesiastes 4, hold on, I got to find it, 4, 9 through 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Your son AJ will pick up the baton of your ministry. So I bless you. Be fruitful and multiply, Jim.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So if any of you have gotten words of prophecy, we invite you at this time to, how do you want to do this, Beth? Have them raise their hands?
They could do that, yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to switch over to the viewing of the gallery screen so I can see if anyone has a word of prophecy for Jim or Shelly or Beth or for just an adopted child. Could you just raise your hand at this time? Anne? You can raise your physical hand or you can use the reactions in the reactions on the bottom of my screen. I'm not sure where it is on yours. You can also use the hand raise signal as well. So Anne Baker, I saw that your hand was up, so go ahead.
This is just a very, very short word, and it's for the three of you. And what I heard the Lord saying is, you're all in a new season. Soon it will be a new biblical year. God is in the business of exchanging the heart of pain for his will, purpose, and destiny beyond what you have already seen, and what you have not seen will be fulfilled. And just out of interest, the new biblical year starts on the 2nd of April.
Amen.
Oh, man, that's really incredible. The springtime blossoms are coming forth. How about anybody else? Go ahead, Anne. We got the Anne's going today.
I just asked God for what, if he had a word, and he said landslide. You're, be prepared for a landslide in funds, in mothers, in friends, in call centers and well-placed marketing, you know, well-placed documentary, however. So Landslide, just be ready to receive all that he has, because it's going to spill over from heaven right into your lap. It's just gotta grab it, grasp it as it comes, for he said, you will have a landslide.
Amen. Thank you, Ian. That was powerful. Go ahead, Laurel.
This is really for Jim. You know, as you were speaking, I was thinking of the story of Moses, and, you know, so many should have died, you know, babies like you, what you started with, you should have not made it. Even as the Hebrew baby boys were being murdered, but he saved you for a purpose. And, you know, I just honor your mother, your parents for fighting for you, for all the people that poured into you. And I bless your fighting spirit. There is something in you of great strength, which is why you're here today. And, you know, you're anointed and appointed to save others from bondage. Mm-hmm. And it's not even just, I believe it's not even just adopted, that whole realm of adoption. You know, there are many foster children, as you said, people who have entered into abortion. It's huge. And, you know, I thank you as part of the church for doing this, because so many non-Christians think that the church is miserable because we beat up people who abort. So thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that today would almost be like a burning bush day, that he would be turning aside and hearing your voice. And he says, don't be disturbed or moved if the Pharaoh's heart is hard. I will make a way. And I bless you to enter into the supernatural, miraculous provision of God. And I believe you are anointed with the spirit of Elijah. You're going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers and save us from the curse. And so thank you. Bless you. Love it.
Wow. Wow, Laura, I love that word, anointed and appointed. Powerful.
Let me add to that. I have tears in my eyes. Because you don't know how tough it's been to follow this dream. I've been pushed against this dream for years. Recessions, you name it, everything, governments, they want this snuffed out. And 4 years ago in March, comes this March, I made a decision to pursue this. I came to my father's house where I'm in right now. He had dementia for 22 months. It was my father who loved me unconditionally. He's in heaven now, but I'm on a mission, and people think I'm nuts because I continue to grab the mission. I was called that day in 94 to help these women and these men choose life and choose Jesus, and I won't give it up. And Joseph called me up 2 weeks ago and said, I got this time for you to share your story. And you guys have blown wind into my sail. But I can't tell you how many times with hepatitis C, when I went to the doctor 5 years ago, he said, Jim, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is death, you're at 8. Eight. And he said, I can give you this drug, and I didn't take it because it's going to make me sick. And I waited for technology, and I was cured of Hep C. My HIV is in remission, or whatever they call it. All I'm telling you is every turn, God wants to take me out. I mean, the devil wants to take me out. And you guys come in, Joseph and this whole group, because I am called, and I'm moving forward, even as in Hebrews, I go, it said six or seven, 10 times at the beginning of Hebrews 11, I go in faith, I go in faith, go in faith. And that's where I am, because my money was taken away from me. I was crushed, big bucks, crushed. But I keep going. And I thank you guys for helping me, because pray for me. That's what I said earlier. Pray for me, because God's given me life for a mission. In 37 years this March, they said you'd be dead by 1990. And everybody's died but me, including my wife, who's in heaven.
Wow, Jim, thank you for sharing that profound testimony. I just want to remind you what the Lord shared with me. Your tears will bloom into seeds of love. And as you were sharing, I heard the song, I Need a Sign to Let Me Know You're Here. And all of these lines are being crossed over in the atmosphere. I need to know that you're going to look up, because I feel like I'm drowning in a sea of spilled cup. And when there is no place safe and no place safe to put my head, and when I feel the world shake from the words that are said, I'm calling on the angels. So I decree over you that angels are on assignment for this ministry. Thou shall look up and be in wonder of what God's going to do. So Heavenly Father, we just ask for angelic help to abound on this ministry. Come forth. The angels are waiting, Jim. You just need to ask Papa. Ask Papa for the angelic help. He's already got them commissioned for you. And he's asking you, because this is what the song says. I won't give up, Jim, on you if you don't give up. I won't give up on you, Jim, if you don't give up. God is telling you four times in this song, I'm not going to give up if you don't give up. So we just, let's put our hands out to you right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jim. We thank you for the life that he has. We thank you for the breath, the wind, the ruach of God to breathe into him right now. And for the holy angels that you have already commissioned for such a time as this that are on purpose, Jim, just for you. These are angels on assignment. And I thank you, God, that you're restoring the youth of his years, that you are going to give him the strength to fulfill the testimony of what he has for his life. And you are going to give him so much energy. You are going to be abounding in your youth, Jim. And so we just decree and declare that the light of Christ shines in and through you. And don't worry about anything, because God's got it, okay? So, Inger, I see your beautiful hand is up.
Hang on, Inger, just a second. Therese, in your word there where you said shaking world, when Laurel stopped speaking, an earthquake began here.
Oh.
And my pictures were banging on my wall, everything. So we've got a physical, temporal confirmation of that word already. Okay, excuse me, Inger, go ahead.
I just felt that the Lord said you, all of you are hope solutionists, you are hope ambassadors, and you are heart healers. So you are bringing hope to very many people. They have been looking for help. They're looking for something to stretch out for. And you are giving that in different kind of ways, because you are doing different things. But you are bringing hope. So solutionists, because they need solutions. And also ambassadors. You are ambassadors for our Heavenly King. And heart need to be healed. There are a lot of hearts, from the young ones to the babies, to the mothers, to the fathers. So there are a lot of healings to be done, and you are heart healers. God bless you with that.
Wow, Inger, that's beautiful.
Amen.
Well, welcome to the Ministry of Heart Healing. Does anyone else have anything to share? Go ahead, Nancy Ashcroft.
I was hearing special needs, that the Lord's going to be expanding your tent pegs to reach into these arenas of special needs, because so many of these children don't survive to thrive, and that there's no mistake about your testimony, Jim. You were a child born with special needs. Yet look Amen. At what God has done. Look at what God has done through your life. So, Father, I just thank you right now for the protection of children in the womb with special needs. I thank you that you are God of the genes, that you are bringing an anointing of healing and deliverance and salvation to these families.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
Well, thank you, Therese. And I just want to say that I've been really blessed by listening to these stories. And when I asked the Lord what I could speak, I felt like he said, speak wholeness. So I speak wholeness over you. And you know, every person who's alive has broken places. But I speak wholeness over you. Wholeness from the throne. Wholeness from the throne. I sing wholeness over you. Wholeness. And there's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And Lord, I pray this for the speakers today and for everyone listening now and on the replay. Now may the God of Shalom himself make you completely holy. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept complete, blameless at the coming of our Lord Yeshua Jesus, the Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Laura, is your hand up again, honey?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something. It's because of what Shelley said about an earthquake. I was kind of going with sort of a continuation, which I sometimes do. And you know, this morning, the Lord was re-impressing upon me, you know, whatever things you ask in prayer, believe you will receive. I myself have great faith for the blood of Jesus going into the blood of a human child of God. And I just want to release that to you. Father, I thank you for Jim Wright. I thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. I ask right now that you would put it in between him and his mom and his dad. I thank you for his life. I thank you that you rescued him out of the depths and danger. And Father, I pray that you would right now with the blood of Jesus wash from the moment of his conception right through to this day. I thank you, you have kept him, that he will be a sign and a wonder. And I declare that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, thank you, thank you, Abba Father, that your word declares he is a new creation. And he will speak life, bring life, even as he is embracing life. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. There is an earthquake going on.
Wow, that's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Well, I just kind of sense I'm supposed to deliver, especially Shelley's words. So I'm just going to quickly dispense these words because it's probably going to take me longer to type it because I withheld my medication so I could see. So Beth, you are a fighter. Your heart is so tender, pure, and righteous. Before the foundations of the world, God knew the plans that he had for you to prosper you and not to harm you. You are blessed to be a blessing. In adoption, I multiplied the blessing. Get ready for the expansion plans, for orphans will be adopted, both spiritually and naturally. Welcome to the justice of the King, for the fleece shall be white as snow. I pray that resonates with your heart. And for Shelley, I heard restitution, redemption, restorer of the breach. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Thank you, daughter, for prophesying. Your obedience has opened doors. Thank you for protecting the innocent. I have kept your tears. to pour out on the body of Christ for this day. This day was an appointed day in your book of life. Welcome to the season of blooming, Shelley, for doors shall open for you. For you have protected the baby at all cost. And when you are ready, Shelley, it's time to write your story. For you are sealed in the blood of Yeshua. The testimony ordained by Christ. This is what the word story means. Okay. I got an acronym. This is normally my husband's department, but I got the acronym. S meaning sealed. T testimony. O ordained of Christ. R restitution. Y years of recovery. For your heart, you are being mended of a broken heart. And you are a restorer of the breach. Bless you all. Thank you for letting me share. Is there anyone else that has a testimony to share this morning? Or a prophetic word? I'm sorry, a prophetic word. Go ahead, Lois.
I had gotten this earlier for Shelley, but the Lord is saying that it's for all three of you. Shelley and Beth and Jim, God is saying that you're the apple of his eye. And I just sense such a love that he has for you. And he's saluting you today. And he's saying that he has walked through many hard places with you. And he has used everything to develop in you the compassion, wisdom, insight, creativity, courage, and love you have today. God salutes you this day. He is very proud of you. He will give others hope and stability as you walk through similar, as they walk through similar situations. He has indeed made beauty for ashes. And he gave me Isaiah 61. And I'm just going to read part of the first couple of verses. He was sent, that's Jesus was sent, and we're sent also to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I sense that as secrets are told, his splendor is going to be displayed. Courage will be released. Faith will be released. Miracles will be released. For when they are weak, he is strong. When you are weak, he is strong. Miracles are coming. Expect them as you share that God will be setting people free. And things that would take a long time is not going to take a long time.
Oh,
thank
you, Lois.
Amen.
So as a prophetic act, I feel like we are to salute the three of you. So on a count of three, one, two, three. Bonnie wrote in the chat that there was a 4.9 earthquake at the epicenter in Grant, Oklahoma, 12 minutes ago. And that led me to a Philippians 4:9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone that God is at hand. So you can go on to read the rest of that. But isn't this amazing that we focus on whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is righteous. And God's just got this. He's got this. So does any, oh, Joseph. Joseph, dear Joseph, go ahead. You have the floor, my dear.
Well, thank you. I'm going to say a prayer, and that'll be my feedback to the people as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this historic moment. for orchestrating all our different lives, bringing us together. We thank you for the amazing stories of your goodness and your grace and your mercy, your redemption and restoration. And we praise you as the God of love and the God of restoration and redemption. And thank you for the hope that has been offered, not just to people on this call, not just to people who watch the replay, but many others who are touched by this message and that spread your love, your hope, your redemption, your restoration. Thank you for Beth and the team who have been part of the Justice Network, planning and preparing the way for this initial broadcast today. And we bless them and we commission them to do all that you have written in their books of life, the books of life in heaven. We bless them. We bless the Justice Network, and we acknowledge that your ways are the highways to the best life, to the good life. We acknowledge that your word, your will, and your ways are supreme, and we bless you, Father God, as a company of people who love you. Father, we thank you for Jim Wright and for his persistence and his overcoming. And even though he received the last rites from the priests when he was born and when he was 7 years old, they weren't your last rites, Father. And you had a plan for him. And I thank you that he's overcome, just overcome and overcome and overcome. And I thank you for him to be able to be here to share his amazing stories, just tearjerkers, to just show the providence of God. And Father, we thank you that you are blessing him through this message. He's come here to bless us, but he's being blessed as well. And so we thank you for Jim Wright. We thank you for birth mothers and for birth mother. Birth mothers, those two organizations, and we bless those. We speak light, life, and love into your original intent for those ministries. We thank you, Father, for the power of obedience. That uncommon, we acknowledge that uncommon obedience always, always, always leads to uncommon blessings. And so we thank you for the uncommon blessings that have already come forth and that will come forth as a result of the obedience. And thank you for Shelley, Father. I know it was hard for Shelley to share this message, this secret that just a few people have known. And she shared it. And I thank you, Father, that not only is she being healed as she shares the story, not only is her family being healed as she shares the story, but that so many people are being healed. And Father, you say in 1 John that you are light and that in you is no darkness. So these deep secrets, these dark secrets aren't, that's not your intention for people to just live with those and to have that pain, that hidden pain for so long. And so we ask you to shine the light, Father God, your light and your love on people's hearts. And I pray that many, many, many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people will come out of the closet and share their stories, their deep secrets with people who are safe, where they know that they won't be judged, they'll be loved, but they can finally get out. I pray that you'll unite families that have been separated because of, for whatever reason. And Father, I believe this is part of the paving the way, even with the Roe versus Wade overturning expected in June or whatever in 2022, that there's going to be so many women, women with unexpected pregnancies that are going to need to have other people come alongside them one-on-one. And so I pray, Father, that your church as a whole, that the body of Christ as a whole will hear yes. this message, that they'll receive this message, that they'll act yes. on this message.
Yes.
And this is a call to action. It's not just a message to say, oh, that's neat. Oh, that's a good story. And so may we hear your call, Father, and respond to your call. And Father, for people who can give in uncommon ways, I pray that you'll stir their hearts and that they'll see that this is they can sow it to something that's changing the lives of so many people and even healing a nation of these wounds that have happened as a result of abortion and this altar that we've erected in America. Father, I pray that you establish a righteous altar in place of the evil altar of abortion and that you cast down all the gods behind the spirit of abortion in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for other nations. There's so many people that The U.S. has exported abortion to so many other nations, and I pray for just the healing of those wounds that have come to people and families and communities and nations and churches, Father God. Father, we praise you as the God of truth. Thank you for the truth that's been spoken today. And you say in the book of Revelations, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. So thank you for these powerful testimonies that are helping us as people who are part of the body of Christ, people who aren't a part of the body of Christ yet, to overcome the devil and his schemes. We pray this all in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Wow, Joseph. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the heaviness, the weighty ruach glory of God right now. So, wow. Does anyone else have anything to share? If not, I'm going to take it back to you, Beth.
I've got one more point that's kind of dovetails. When I was given the word that I had HIV in 1985, I asked the Lord, you know, it looked pretty dismal, the statistics. And I went to my Bible and I wrote down a scripture, and I have it today. It's when Paul in 2 Corinthians prayed to God three times to take away whatever problem he had. And what did Jesus say? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul said, okay, I'll go on and praise God for my hardships and whatever I'm facing. And so I have that scripture written on a little piece of paper in 1985 when I first wrote that scripture down when they gave me my death sentence.
Oh. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Oh, I just want to say something real quick. Beth, I forgot to ask you and Shelley to pray over the people. So I don't know if you want to do that now. I asked Jim to pray the Father's blessing, but did you all pray as well?
Yes. Yes. Okay. She prayed. Yes. Yeah, we all did.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I think the next one up is, we're going to go to Roger. Is Roger still on? If Roger, you're on, you'll be next.
Jim, I'm hearing you guys, Beth, and everybody tell your story. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You coming through? So hearing everybody's story, I was getting teared up over here. And was actually brought to my remembrance that my mother and father had an abortion when I was young. I didn't know that until later in life, and I can't imagine now the pain and suffering they were going through their lives. It might have explained what they had suffered from and why maybe they tore their relationship apart. But Jim, as you were talking, there's two scriptures that were drawn to my attention. One was Psalms 127, 3, verse 5, where it talks about, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And I sense the Lord was saying that you're putting together the family of God that he wanted you to put together. You are the blessed man who is filling God's quiver with arrows, all these children who are being restored, all these parents who are coming back and being healed are going to be mighty in the hand of God. The other one was 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. God is the ultimate parent. So he's going to provide for you. He is going to take care of all of your needs because you are the member of his household. And so what came up in my heart was, God is making right with your last name what the enemy tried to make wrong. And what I think is interesting is the noun right is an old English word that always refers to a person who builds, creates, or repairs something. So it's pretty powerful to see what God is doing in your life. you know, the Justice League is part of the Empower 2000 family and the empoweringyou.network. And what we try to do is what our mission and purpose is to empower, equip, and support God's children to fulfill their destiny, to give them the support, the love, the encouragement, the prayers, the networking, everything that's needed to help them realize their destiny. And when Joseph launched the Empowering You Network, he brought his faith to the platform of technology. And with this platform, we've been able to encourage and equip and launch God's children out into their destiny. Beth came here back in, when I looked at the records, I think 2019 was your first purchase, if you will, of participating in a legacy dream team that Joseph launched. And to see where she has come from and what she's gone through, to hear her story more today and what God has done in her life is a testament to what happens when a family comes around somebody and gives them the love and the encouragement and the support and everything they need to blossom in their life. We've seen that with Beth. We're seeing that with Shelley. And we're now seeing that with you, Jim, is that as God's children come around and provide the family that maybe we didn't have the encouragement, didn't have the support, didn't have the love to help lift us up. That's what the Empowering You Network is all about and what the Justice League Network is all about. And so there's an opportunity if people want to participate and join and partner with Beth in what she's doing. There's now a link on her website at justice777.net under the About tab. There's a link where you can join the family, where you can participate, you can be encouraged, you can be helped, you can get educated, you can be equipped. You know, it says in the scriptures that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And it's a lack of understanding of God's ways. It's a lack of understanding about his precepts and his principles and the vision that he has for them. And that's all being provided here as part of what Beth is doing at the Justice League and her site. And so for those of you who are watching for the first time and participating and you feel a call to come alongside and join hands with Beth and what she's doing here, come join the family. Educate yourself here at the Justice League. Find out what the causes are that she has been commissioned to go out and bring biblical justice back to. And find which one resonates with you. Then come and join the family. Join hands with her because we're not going to accomplish God's vision and plan if we don't come together as a family. We can't do it on our own. We need each other. And as we come together and support one another, just like I said, through prayer, encouragement, love, support, finances, then God's job can get done. And so let me just encourage you again. Come learn about what Beth is doing. Go to her site, justice777.net. Find out all that she's involved in. And if you want to join the family, click on the Join Family tab and become part of the Justice Network. So thanks so much, Beth. You're doing such a wonderful job here. And Shelley, thank you for sharing your story. And Jim, thank you for paying the price to go through what you've had to go through to stand where you stand. A vision is not easy to walk out. And the persecution, sacrifice, the scorn that one goes through is tremendous. And I just encourage you and congratulate you for staying the course, standing your ground no matter what, and not giving up. Just like we were shared, we salute you for your efforts. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate you sharing all that with us. And thank you so much. Roger has been a huge asset to helping us with this Justice Network. He's behind the scenes and doing all the computer stuff, but he's actually the one that's helped get the link up so that you guys can subscribe. So I just want to really appreciate and thank him for all that he's has been doing. And of course, Dr. Peck and so many other people. So we just thank God for making this possible because there's so many different people that put their that have worked hard on this, and so I just really appreciate that. So the action step, yeah, go ahead and go to justice777.net and check us out and make sure that you can subscribe so that we can keep in contact with you guys And action step two, remember the different action steps that you can take. Go and check out Jim Wright's ministry and continue to pray for him. And like I said, if you want to sow a seed, pray for the different justice areas. You know, with justice777.net, we are covering all different areas. Right now, we've been talking about like adoption and abortion. We have other issues. We have other areas where we're going to be talking about human trafficking, talking about education, righteousness in government, the poor, the widows, the homeless. There's just so many different areas that we are going to be talking upon. So we just invite you to just come and join us. And so, but today, before we close, we're about ready to close here. But I just wanted to thank and honor all the women who had chose life and placed their babies for adoption instead of aborting them. And so I just want to thank and honor them. And I just wanted to let you know, like, just put the past behind you if you need to. Forgive yourself. Let go of all guilt, shame, condemnation. So go back and listen to the replay. I encourage you, if you want to listen to the prayers again, the blessing prayers were beautiful. An action step is listen to it again yourself. If you walked through that stage of life of abortion or adoption, and if you know somebody else, maybe you have a friend or somebody else that would benefit from the blessing prayers, go ahead and refer those to the replay as well, so that they can have those touch their hearts and bring healing as well. And I want to encourage all those people who have been adopted. Remember that Jesus formed you in your mother's womb. You are not a mistake. Every day of your life was part of God's plan, and He has purpose and destiny for your life. You are loved, and you have not been forgotten. And so, just be encouraged. And for those women who have actually had an abortion, there is forgiveness and there is healing for you, and that there is no sin that the Lord will not erase. So God's grace and His love, it reaches past your worst mistake. So Jesus can heal your heart of past trauma, regret, shame, and any other emotions. So you just need to ask Him and just go to Him. So, I just really want to thank you for doing that. And what we're going to do now is Swartart is going to be saying the closing prayer. And then after that, I'm going to just come say another little blessing, quick blessing prayer, and then we're going to end the empowered way. So, Anne, if you'd want to go ahead and come and you can say the closing prayer, I'd appreciate that. I know you'll bless us. Thank you.
Beth, we have one more hand that is up if you have a few moments. Okay. Deborah Robinson.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary, because I want to pray for Shelley and her daughter. In her talking, she was talking about they're not exposing it just today, but just here today. And we want them to be able to share it wherever God sends them to go. And so right now, Father God, we pray over Shelly and her daughter, Father God, that you will send angels around them. Your word says that you have given them angels a charge over them, least anything, keep them in all their ways. And so we cover them with the blood of Jesus and thank you for the angels that are surrounding him. And whatever you have to do, Father God, to make them safe for the rest of their life, we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I say thank you, Jesus, as well. I thank and praise God for all of you who have come to the E2000 home today to join in the family line of the Justice Network and to join in the lives being touched by these revelations today. Lord, I praise you for Shelley and her daughter who showed up today. I thank you for the stories that have touched our hearts. I thank you for Beth and her story of birth mom and her adoptive mom. And it's beautiful. One big family of love. It looks different. There's different cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents and moms. We could all have more than one mom. It was joyful to have moms who love us. And Jim, I'm just blown away by your heart, your story, and the beautiful, beautiful words said over you, you Shelley and you Beth, but especially you, because you stepped out through things, hard things. You stepped through it all with light and grace, and Lord, I praise God for him. And so I pray to all of you, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he shine his face on you with all graciousness, abundant grace every day. May he cause his face to smile on you and bring you shalom, well-being, health, favor, wealth, prosperity, all the good things of life. May he bring them to you with peace that passes understanding, love that's beyond imagination, and hearts filled with joy to skip through life from this day on. And so as you go, I just say shalom, shalom. We love you. And did you want me to say the goodbye, or did you want to say it your way? You said you had a blessing. So, dear Lord, I just gift up everybody here today and say, come one, come all, join the Justice Network. You will love it, but also join Empower 2000. You'll love that too. It's not an ad for that. It's just asking you to come home if it feels like it's home to you. So, with that, lovingly, we say amen in Jesus' name. Beth?
Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Anne. And that was a beautiful prayer. I was going to say the exact same prayer. It wasn't as long of a version, but it was, may the Lord bless you, keep you part. So there's just one section at the very bottom that you did not say, that I'm going to add on to your prayer. And it is, and may you be blessed to be a blessing and give it away. So I add that to your prayer that you pray. So, all right. So I'm always amazed how God steers each one of our testimonies to bring him glory, you know. And so it just talks about restorations of our lives, Jim's life, Shelley's life, my life. And God wants to do it for you too as well. So just know that God wants to do it in your life too. So just, you know, ask him and be expecting. So. All right, so now we're going to end. We're going to say goodbye the empowered way. I really want to thank everyone for taking time to be with us today. And this is the very first Justice Network webinar. And so we're so excited that you could be here with us. And so God bless you for that. So let's give everybody a great big hug. Okay, and then we'll give each other a great big holy kiss. And then a great big wave, and we say shalom, shalom. Bye for
shalom,
now.
Shalom,
shalom.
Shalom,
shalom.
Shalom, shalom. God bless
shalom
you.
For now.
Shalom,
shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom,
shalom.
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 Shalom. Shalom.